Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have the beautiful Ellie Nagy with me, and Ellie is a self-leadership practitioner who specializes in supporting pioneering business leaders to remember and reclaim who they truly are so they can turn their hidden fears into power and create iconic legacies and experience unbridled satisfaction. That's one of the coolest things in any business, is that you love what you do. She's discovered that behind the fear lies freedom, and within tribal fear lies power. So if just from that little bio that doesn't tell you much, we're going to dig down a little bit more. You can see this is going to be a very interesting interview and conversation. Welcome, Ellie. And it is Ellie, not L. Am I correct?
It's L.
It's L. L. When you see the notes and you look at the spelling of both of those, you won't blame me for maybe not pronouncing it correct. So
I have people saying Ellie Nagy. You know, it's all good. It's just a name. It doesn't define me. So whatever goes.
Well, welcome, Elle. It's really lovely having you on. I know I met you on an online networking event that you hosted a few weeks ago, and we talked about and promised that we would have this conversation. So I'm very pleased that we can. And tell me about you. There's obviously an accent there that we might pick up on, and I know you are living in New Zealand now, but that's not the accent. So what's the story? What's the L story?
What's the L story? L was born in deep, dark Africa, in the country known as South Africa. And as with a lot of us finding ourselves at this time, not feeling home. So even though I was born in South Africa and lived there for majority of my life, it never felt like home. I never felt like I really belonged in the culture. I didn't feel like I was ever safe there. And I knew at one stage it was time to leave the country. Now, I'd done a trip to Ireland for a year, and that wasn't home either, and ended up back in South Africa. And then one day I literally sat on the bed and I was like, okay, universe, where am I supposed to go? And I picked up my cell phone and I went onto Pinterest, and there was a picture of an amazing bike ride with a bike that looked just like my mountain bike. And I was like, oh, we're going to go there. And I clicked on the button and it said New Zealand, and I jumped off the bed. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I ran into the lounge where my now ex-husband was. It was like, you need to start applying for jobs. We're moving to New Zealand. And he's like, okay, well, that's crazy. I don't think we can move. I don't think we qualify. I was like, no, you have to apply, and we're going to be there by Christmas. And it was the 1st of August. And he just said, you're nuts. And 2 weeks later, he had his job offer signed, and I was here by November. So
yeah. Wow. It's amazing when you put something out into the world and it's meant to be, how easily it flows, isn't it?
And it was easy, and it was a case of, it was a non-negotiable for me. I mean, to the point that I would go running and listen to the haka on my ear.
Well, that's certainly motivating, because it's
impossible. I was like, I'm doing this, baby. And every time that he came up with a obstacle, I just kept on going, just keep the faith, just keep the process, just keep moving forward. And even his passport literally arrived half an hour before he had to leave for the airport to get on the flight. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it. And all the time, he was like, oh, we can't, it's not, I'm like, keep the faith, keep going. It's happening. I'm hearing this. It is. And yeah.
So do you have family too, Elle, children that came with you?
I have two boys. They're now 20 and 22. I can't really call them boys anymore. They tower over me like kings. But yeah, they were in high school, just going into high school when we came over. So it was just the four of us that came.
Yeah. And they're enjoying it as well.
It's been an adjustment. I'm not sure if they will be staying here. You know, coming from South Africa, and especially Johannesburg, big city life, adrenaline pumping, to New Zealand, which is very small in comparison. I think that they miss adventure, and, you know, they have big dreams, big ambitions. I'm not sure New Zealand has the capacity to really deliver on that for them.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? I mean, we're only next door in Australia, and there are some bigger cities and opportunities and adventures, certainly adventures. But yeah, oh, wonderful. That's a big deal to move to a different country. With your business, is that something that has grown since you've been in New Zealand? Is it something that just came through and this is what I'm meant to be doing? Or is that you were doing that before?
Yeah, I've been doing this for almost 20 years now. So the evolution that had to happen, though, was in South Africa, my business was completely offline. All of my business was through referrals and just local press picking up on what I was doing and getting publicized and things like that. And then as I knew that we were going to move over, I had to transition to an online business and just completely open myself up to a more international way of thinking, international way of doing business, and then just brought it over that way.
Mm. And I mean, the last couple of years has meant that that's what most people are quite happy to do now also, is to be online.
Mm. Yes, and it's been interesting for me because coaching offline is very different from coaching online. Coaching offline is, I'm going to step on toes, the art of coaching as a profession. Coaching online is an industry. And for majority, it's teaching, mentoring, consulting, not the art of coaching. And so that's been a huge adaptation for me as well, to kind of go, okay, well, I can still coach my clients, but online I have to teach. I have to shift into a different role than just the art of coaching.
Yes, I understand what you're, as a coach, I understand what you're saying. And I love the opportunity when I have people in the room and we can have a different conversation and a different way to have a conversation than we necessarily can online. But I think we've adapted reasonably well and still getting results. I mean, that's the important part from a coach, isn't it? That you still get results for your people, that the by doing so. So self-leadership practitioner, what does that mean? What and I you know, the intro said less fear, more freedom, which is nice, but what does that really look like for somebody?
Understanding that you are more than meets the eye. So self-leadership comes from a very deep holistic understanding that we are human beings. The human consisting of the mind and the body and the emotions that we feel, and the being understanding that there is an energetic part to us which is connected to consciousness. And self-leadership is holistically understanding how all of this is working, the relationship between the human and the being and the evolution thereof. And from there, we can actually start tapping into, well, the human is being conditioned in fear. We are living in a fear-conditioned society, which breeds conformity, which breeds us to operate needing motivation and to be driven and to achieve and to prove ourselves worthy. All of this is just tribal fear conditioning. But once you tap out of that into the consciousness of divine love and true potential and who we are in the real creative process, and you then merge these two, that's when you actually start transcending into your space of self-actualization and you consciously create your life. So you don't create from fear anymore. You create from your true potential. And in that is where the fulfillment lies.
And that's something that I think about with people, is that they don't often realize until they do realize they have the opportunity to create or be from a perspective that is conscious. And most people think, well, I am conscious. But when you are conscious, you can step aside and look at your behavior and your, rather than just responding and just going with whatever is being thrust at you and then responding without that conscious thought to it.
Yes. And it's about stepping outside of that and understanding that there is purpose to everything. We're not these haphazard, I don't even know what we want to call it, things that are walking on the earth, right? Mm. We are literally evolving consciousness itself through our life experiences, and everything is gifted for us for our personal and collective evolution. So once I started understanding that, I became pronoid. Everything happens for me. If everything is happening for me, what is the gold in every situation? What is the gold in every event that has happened in my life or is happening in my life, even the most painful events? Mm-hmm. If they were happening for me, not to me, who did I get to evolve into being through that? And then we start using our emotions as indicators of where our minds are focused. If our minds are focused in the direction of truth, we feel good. Mm. If our minds are focused in the direction of fear, we feel bad.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this more and more in our world at the moment. People are feeling anxious and have anxiety and overwhelm and fear and anger and all of these things, and they're reacting from that space. They're like wanting to be warriors and wanting to overcome stuff. And you know, I played that game too. I'm not like a saint. I played that game, which is why I know what it feels like to go through and get onto the other side. Because when you stop playing that game and you drop into, I am always safe. I am the creator of my life experience. What I focus on grows. Do I really want to focus on that? What I speak is a spell. I spell my new life into the universe. Do I really want to say what I'm saying at the moment just to justify something, just so that other people will understand me? Is that really what I want to create? Mm-hmm. That is conscious creation. You become conscious of your emotions. You become conscious of your thoughts, your interpretations. And you become unattached to your beliefs. Because
yeah, that's a very good point, isn't it? Because they are a belief. They're not a fact. They're just an idea that through conditioning, we've come to that idea.
And you keep on, you keep on creating evidence for the belief because that's the story you keep speaking into the universe. And especially as a high achiever, how we are perceived is important to us as high achievers. We want to appear smart. We want to appear to know what we're talking about. I always got A grades in school. I was that annoying student. So to then get to a point of life and go, what if everything I believe is wrong? And more importantly, go out to prove everything that you believe is wrong. A is humbling as can be, but B, it's so freeing because I made the decision. I was more concerned in being happy than in being right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a hard place to, we say that. I've heard that line many, many times, used it many times myself. But it is a very difficult place to be. And as you said, quite humbling when you just say that, you know, that everything that you believe is wrong. Yeah, that's an interesting and very challenging space for people to sit in. And particularly over the last couple of years, it's been so polarizing as well. And there's been, it's separated communities and families and because of those polarized ideas and beliefs. And then to, for somebody that's holding on strongly to certain beliefs, to be able to think, well, maybe I'm wrong, or what I believe is wrong, and then how to sit from a different space there. That's interesting.
And curiosity is a grace.
Mm.
So I just became curious. Well, what if, you know, people saying I tilt my head, because I do.
I do the same. I just looked at, every time I do one of these interviews, I look at that, I notice I've got my head tilted to a certain way. And I try and sit up a bit straighter and I go, but I do, yeah.
What if I look at it from this angle? And then what if I look at my belief from that angle?
Mm.
What if I just turned upside down and completely turned it on its head? And all of it is just, and which belief feels better? And which belief feels better? And what I discovered was majority of my old beliefs felt really bad. I felt inadequate. I felt I was never enough. I felt unworthy of love, unlovable. I never felt like this divine, powerful woman with a really influential voice and value to add in every conversation that I bring.
Mm. And to be able to step into that role is, as you know, that's the power that you're talking about that I did in the introduction, isn't it? It is a very, and the beauty of it is that the power isn't to override anybody else. The power is purely within. So understanding while somebody else is living their story and their beliefs, it doesn't affect you.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I don't need anybody to be wrong in order for me to be happy.
Mm.
I just need to live in alignment with who I truly am. And every single day I ask myself, and who have I now become? Because every day I still live, every day I still have experiences, and all of that is gold for evolution.
Hmm. It's, and so what sort of techniques do you work with people to help them become more conscious?
This is so interesting. I was asked this 2 days ago, what are the tools that you use? And I'm like, I'm not a tool coach.
Not a carpenter, hey?
It's so interesting because I draw on so much. It literally depends on the person in front of me and where mm-hmm. they are and what it is that they need. It always starts with, who is it that you desire to be?
Yeah, that's a really powerful question. Who is it that you desire to be?
Who is it that you desire to be? So if you had to wake up in the morning and you looked in the mirror and you go, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. I'm so in love with you. You are everything. Who do you see?
And I know with, you know, the work that I do, I see a lot of women in particular who would find that very difficult to find that self-belief, that self-love, that unconditional self-love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy space.
Because they haven't connected to the frequency of love. See, love is not an emotion and love is not a word. Love is a frequency. And this took me a long time to understand. If you are not connected to the frequency of love, which starts with self, you are not in love, which is why people can't unconditionally love others, which is why they have rules for relationships and rules for the tribe and rules of what has to and has not to. Because once you hit the frequency of love, you love unconditionally, because that's the tone that you set.
Okay. Just on that, I listened to somebody this morning and they were talking about conscious love or conditional love, and one you choose as for other people, but with their children, they described it as instinctual love. You might not even like your children, but there's that instinctual love. Is that something that resonates with you? That I just hadn't heard that before, and I thought, you know, that is just normally when I talk about my grandchildren, I say, look, I love my children. I have to. That came with rules, and I'm in love with my grandchildren, which is a different space. That hit a note with me this morning. Is that instinctual love? Does that sort of resonate?
That doesn't resonate for me personally. Okay. I think I have seen way too many women who don't love their children.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt a lot of pressure when I never planned on having kids. Mm-hmm. And when I fell pregnant, I had all this pressure because everybody goes, oh, don't worry, mother's instinct will kick in and this will kick in and that will kick in. And I kept on thinking, it's not kicking in. I am not feeling broody. I am not feeling any instincts. I am not feeling any of that stuff. And I actually went into deep depression after my first child's birth.
Right, because of that expectation that society put on you with that. So that sort of negates what this person was saying this morning, doesn't it?
And again, if you are not loving, if you're not frequencing on love, how can you instinctually love something else? Maybe we're instinctually feeling protective of that little thing that we've just popped out. Are all women instinctually protective? No, because we are witnessing the opposite of that. Again, are we attempting to put people into boxes by saying, well, this is the actual thing, and then taking free will and personal evolution out of the picture? I came to this life experience, one of my big lessons was love. It took me 47 years to get to a point of lying on a piece of grass in the field and sobbing my heart out and going, I can't carry on like this. Universe, what is going on? And the message was clear: until you love yourself, you are incapable of love. And that started my journey of love, of really going, okay, now I'm curious, now I want to figure this out, I want to know, show me all the pieces.
That term, frequency of love, I need to know more about that. I need that to be able to either sense it or understand what that means to you. And
so everything is energy. Okay, my understanding, everything is energy, including us.
Yes.
Energy has different frequencies: low frequency, low vibrational frequency, and high vibrational frequency. Think about it this way: fear is one of the lowest vibrations of frequency that we can vibrate on. Love, divine love, is the highest vibration of the frequency that we can vibrate on. For the most part, at this time, consciousness journeys are to move from fear. This is the growth that we have to go through, from fear frequency to divine love frequency, to a much higher vibration. Once we hit that frequency, we can't operate on fear anymore.
Yes, okay.
So that was my journey, how to outgrow fear to love. Once I hit that, I couldn't not love anymore. That's when I left my marriage, because I finally loved my ex-husband. That's when I discovered love for myself. That's when I discovered love for all of life and tapping into greater creativity. Now, here's the really cool thing about that, especially for the ladies listening. When we do this work, we set a tone of love, and all of my clients experience this. So they start vibrating at a different frequency. And when you get into the room with your family, they start like a tuning fork, vibrating higher to match your frequency. And so all of a sudden their relationships change, especially with their children, because as the adult consciousness, the children seeks to vibrate, seeks to harmonize with your frequency. So the most important work, as far as I'm concerned, for a mother to do is to find love. Because once you do, your children vibrate on that frequency with you, and everything in their lives change as well. It's the most beautiful thing to witness.
Yes, I can imagine how that would happen, because even the sense of loving self means that that's a learning for people around you, and children particularly, that becomes a priority. And that means that when you have that love for yourself, that you can assist other people to, as you said, you sit on a different frequency, but it's also, and even if people don't know what that is, there's something there that they can sense, isn't there?
There is, and it's not love that most people think of. It doesn't always look and feel and sound loving. It's not mollycoddling. It's not, you know, wanting to hold everybody in cotton wool and make them feel good.
Mm.
Because love is intolerant of lie. And so when you love, you start speaking truth. Most people don't really like that. So all of a sudden division starts getting created, and you have to hold love strong enough with such conviction that even if everybody leaves your life because they don't want to harmonize, you have to be okay with that and allow them to have that journey, because free choice is what we all have in life.
Yes, that's a very timely lesson, because that's what I'm finding, is that people and people that have been part of my life for quite a long time are moving on. And unfortunately, it often come to a disruption to do that, rather than just something that is a smooth exit. Let's explain it like that, which is a shame that it does happen. But for me, that letting go of things and people is tricky. But then you open yourself up to more amazing people coming in.
I don't see it as letting go. I just see them as you know, moving in and out of my space. I see them as we're still all on the planet, or not. Maybe they've departed, but we're all still connected. So if you choose just not to be in my physical space anymore, I'm really good with that. I believe it's the most loving thing to allow people to walk in and out of your front door without attachment of them being inside with you. And that was a beautiful journey for me to get to as well, because at the end of the day, we are almost conditioned to say we need other people. You even listen to a lot of the so-called gurus at the moment, and they go, oh, we all need to belong. Well, once you find self, you don't need to belong to the tribe anymore. And all of a sudden it becomes this deeply appreciative relationship of the time that you do have with people, because you don't take it for granted anymore.
Mm.
It's like, I love you because you're here with me right now. And if I never see you again, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And if you choose to hang out some more, I'm really good with that as well. But there's no attachment anymore.
Mm. That's a very interesting space to get to. And that it does feel and sound like love to be able to do that. And it can't be just a matter of just do it? How do people reach that space where that's okay?
Well, for
everyone, a lot of people coming from a whole lot of attachment to beliefs, ideas, people, you know, really holding on to things. And
one day and one choice at a time is what I will say. One day and one choice at a time. To think that you are going to take 50 years and change, well, you can change it in an instant if you want to. Depends on where you find yourself in that position. I just found myself in a position, I was so low, I was like, well, this is not an option for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I am so committed to happiness that I am willing to question and change everything to be happy. And it took me a good year of intense daily work to get to this space, from where I can look back and go, oh, actually, it's not so hard. That is a belief too. So, do I want to have that belief that it's going to be hard, or do I just for today choose to have a belief it's going to be easy? And every day the choice becomes easier because every day you're going to choose easy for a while and then you're going to have a trigger. Something's going to come up and you're going to go, well, screw Al. What does she know? This is really tough. She doesn't understand what I'm going through. Which is what I get to work with my clients through because their triggers show up in the time that we work together. So we can understand what all of these triggers are, where they are connected, and how to heal that so that they can move away from that. But it is having compassion with yourself, and compassion is having empathy with a commitment to end suffering. Suffering is caused when we have beliefs that are contrast to joy, and joy equals truth because truth equals love, and love doesn't feel like suffering. So, that commitment to end suffering is really important because it means you don't let yourself off the hook and go, oh, well, I am where I am, and this is good, and I'm going to be here for the next 60 years. Why? I had a conversation with a lady. And she was working with somebody else who had advised her to, for 60 days, go and find all the misery of family stories for 60 days. And I was like, why would you want to go and suffer for 60 days and then think you're gonna feel better?
For those listening, both our eyebrows have just risen. You're telling the story, and my eyebrows and my eyes have risen. Going, what? Why would you want to go and seek out trauma and drama and hurt, as
And
when you
again,
could choose to go and seek out joy and fun and things that bring, that amazing space in you up? That's
let's just reiterate, what you focus on grows. Now, people are saying this all the time and they don't understand what they mean. Okay, so you are a channel of energy. Just think of it like you are a hose pipe that's literally bringing energy from the universe and growing shit in the world, right? And you're standing there like a fireman, and you are literally going, what am I going to bring this energy to? And whatever I bring it to is going to grow. Yeah, let's go to the past, thereby making it my present, and look at all the bad stuff so that it can grow. Because if I can just make sense of it, I'll be happy. Well, good luck with that. Or you can go, I am where I am. Things happened in the past. I 100% acknowledge it. And when the time is right, in other words, if life gives me something in the present that's a trigger, I'll work it out. Everything that you need to grow and evolve is happening to you right here, right now. You do not have to look at your past. It is what it was. It got you to where you are. What is the goal? Who did you get to become? Who can you become even more of because of what you have lived?
I
And
like
when
that. Who did you get to become? Because the experiences of the past is who you are now.
And even that took introspection. So I'll openly share, I had things like abuse and rape and all of those things in my past. And one day I sat down and I thought, well, if all of that happened for me, who do I get to become now? And I really went into gold, like what is the gold and the platinum in this? And I was astounded. I was like, oh my God, I get to choose to be a woman who completely changes the story of what it means to go through those experiences. I'm not a victim, but I'm also not an overcomer. I'm not a warrior. I'm not any of those things. I'm not a survivor. I'm a beautiful, wise woman who's had life experience. I went through experiences. My experiences do not define me, but who do I get to grow into because of them?
Yeah, and that's by shifting that one word, that everything's happening for you rather than to you. It's just a simple little, I think, preposition, isn't it? One word. And doesn't that absolutely shift the whole perspective when you're looking at it from different angles?
And
It's quite amazing. Yeah.
it requires a willingness, right? It
Mm.
requires a
Yes.
willingness to see things differently, which again comes to emotional maturity, which sadly is very lacking in our world today. But how committed are you to being happy?
Yes, and that's a very good question, is exactly that, isn't it? How committed are you to being happy? I keep taking notes as we're going because I'm thinking about what the title of this conversation might be, and I really like that one. To being happy, because it is a commitment, isn't it? It's a decision. And that's the part of that when we talked about the consciousness, it's a decision. And how are you going to wake up each day? And this is, on my son bought coffee at a roadhouse the other day, and the person behind the counter was so disagreeable. And he's not the type that would ever, he just doesn't bother with what he would call idiots. No, just move on. But he'd asked for a warm, hot black. I don't know what it was. And she said, "Well, how am I going to warm that?" It was. She was really aggressive and just horrible. And I'm thinking, why would you wake up in the morning and think I'm going to have a shitty day and I'm going to treat everybody like shit, and that way I will justify if I'm cranky, then everyone else can be as well. Why would you consider that as a thought when you know? When you are, you won't. When you're conscious, you'll go, well, I can do that, or I can just make sure I have a happy day because I'll make everyone else feel happy.
Well, here's my perspective on that. And I come from suicidal depression and all of those beautiful things. When you want to wake up shitty every day, you're going to find a bloody reason to wake up shitty every day.
Yes.
I made peace with the fact that death is inevitable. My physical death is inevitable. I don't know when my expiration date is. I know my being is eternal. My source energy is eternal. But this body could die today. I always ask myself, is today a good day to die? In other words, have I told the people that I love them? Have I had all the conversations that I need to have? Have I created something? Am I proud of my legacy of who I am today? Is today a good day to die? So my first thought in the mornings when I wake up is literally, holy shit, I get another day. Like, I get my consciousness. As we become conscious, awake in the mornings, my consciousness is choosing to return to my physical body. It's a gift. I kiss myself first thing in the morning because this body has just been given another day.
That's
What am
very,
I going to do with this
that's
day?
nice. That's nice, isn't it, to do that?
What am I going to do with this day? Today is such a gift. I wish people would, we went through a time now where everybody was desperate not to die. And my question was, but how committed are you to live? I'm committed to living every day because I literally, this could be I'm very aware this could be my last day. I'm not morbid about it. I don't have any diseases. I'm not going to pull the trigger. But like when people can start realizing you do not know your expiration day, why are you wasting precious days on crap and being miserable and wanting to rehash all the crappy things from the past? What if today is your last day? Is today a good day to die?
Yeah, that's a lovely way to look at that. I always, and apparently they've just disproven that goldfish have a bigger memory than 7 seconds or whatever it is. But I imagine doing a dissertation on proving goldfish have a longer memory. But well, that was fun. But I've always said, about holding grudges and all that. I just find that sorry, my phone's ringing in the background, so it got distracted me with my what I was saying at the moment. But I just find I don't even remember what that was about, or holding an argument with something. I know I can get cranky in that moment in time, but then I forget to be cranky, if that makes sense. So I just go, oh, I don't know, I don't remember that, and just go and do what you're doing. It's, yeah.
You just shake it off.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times, one of the reasons people don't shake it off is they judge their emotions in the moment as wrong, and then they suppress it. It's like anger. I love anger. Oh my goodness, it's such a powerful emotion. It is red hot energy. I used to win cycling races just getting really pissed at the start. Because you can use the energy of your emotions, but you just need to channel it productively and in a good way. Don't get angry and then go and blow somebody's car up. Like, get angry and get on your bike and go ride and work through your stuff, or get angry and you know, get into a state of going, now I'm going to create with this energy. It's potent, it's red, it's pulsating. Let me get this out. And you have to allow the energy to move through your body. That's why people get sick, because the energy gets stuck in their body, because they're not allowing the emotion, because it's like, oh my God, she's a woman, she can't be angry, that doesn't look pretty on her. Bitch, please. When I get angry, it's like Mother Nature, tornado baby, and I use the energy, and then it's done, it's over, it's done.
Yeah.
Complete. Yeah.
Yes. No, and that is good, to be able to fuel it towards something that is creative and makes a different space. You know, I'm thinking about when you said shake it off. I think I didn't even shake it off. I don't even shake it off. I just forget. I just forget that I'm in that space. You know, I'll go back to what I was doing and just go.
Life is so short, people. Yeah. Life is so short. Like, I'm turning 50 in 2 days.
Oh, happy birthday for 2 days.
Thank you. And I'm thinking 50 years went like this. I feel like my life is only getting started. I feel like I'm only ready to get started. And yet 50 is longer than what a lot of people live.
Yes. Yeah. That's interesting. Interesting thought. And that's the thing also, is when you're finding, you know, joy and out of each day, and joy out of having conversations like this, joy having at the people that you meet, and the other day I just put a post it. I just went out and hosed my vegetable garden. You know, the joy in doing, like, I do that regularly, but I was focused on how much I was enjoying it, because I'd been doing some accounting, and that wasn't bringing me a great deal of joy, and it just wasn't my scope of things to do. But it was, I'm sure where I'm going with this now, but it's that sense of there's so many other things out there that you can just focus some energy into. And as you said, what you focus on grows, and it's much nicer to be in that space. And people talk about me, you know, oh, you're always somewhere, you're networking somewhere, because I love doing it and I have so much fun meeting people. So why wouldn't I put myself in a space where it creates that energy and it brings that sense of, you know, purpose, one, and joy, the other, also.
And joy ultimately is the frequency of creation. Joy is the frequency of creation.
Yeah.
So when we are in joy, we are creating so powerfully. And I was doing a walking meditation this morning, because I was like, why do I love what I do so much? I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years and there's nothing else that I would rather do. And I came to the understanding, it's because when I'm with a client is when I am most aligned with who I truly am as the source of my power. Because it's not about Al. Like, Al is not even in the room majority of the time, which is why I can't specify the tools because it literally just gets, you need to do this, or you need to look at this, or what about this, and what I feel here is this. It is a complete presence with my highest self within that moment. And that's when I started understanding that that's why people like us love what we do, because it's not about us, and it's not even about the clients. It's the gifts of our gift in getting more present with who we truly are.
Oh, I could not have said that absolutely better. That's when you're in that space, and it is. And I have, you know, friends go, "Well, you're working all the time." Well, I'm not working. It's just not work. It's somewhere that I get the opportunity, as you said, the gift of the gift. It's be able to do that. One of my gifts is I can pitch other people's businesses. I know about them, and then I can pitch them better than they can pitch them. And the words come through. And a lot of my clients now know as soon as I start speaking, they'll go, record this, because it doesn't come through a second time. But where it comes from, and I give thanks to that, because it's, and when it does, it just feels like it feels whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'll say it again. I go, I don't know.
Exactly. I have no idea. But it is. The clients are so funny. The real regulars, they'll go, hang on. And they'll pick up the phone and they'll quickly do the recording, because they know that it's.
Because it's our highest selves. It's actually our most evolved self. It's the gift of who we truly are in this world that we allow through in that space. Yeah. Because we're not getting in the way of it. And that's why when I see people bitching and moaning that, oh, they're so tired and they can't create more content, I'm like, then you're not in integrity.
Mm.
If I don't create, I feel like I've not brushed my teeth.
Mm.
Because creating, when you're working in your zone of what you're here to gift others, you feel more energized afterwards. It's not a depletion. It's you actually get plugged in to the socket and switch on the plug and go, woohoo! It feels amazing.
It absolutely. I know I when I do in-person, particularly in-person training, I'll run a whole day training, and I'll, I used to regularly call a friend afterwards, and she's like, oh, you've been training today, haven't you? Because it was as if I'd drunk, all V and all the different caffeine related drinks, because even though I'd stood on my feet and talked for 8 hours, it was, this is a high. I'm not exhausted. I just absolutely love it. So yes, totally, totally resonate with exactly what you're saying there, Elle. It's quite incredible. Our time is wrapping up very quickly. And no, it always happens. I think I've said this on every single 136 episodes. I think I've said this on every single one. Wow, that time went really quickly. And it's because I get some beautiful guests who've got amazing information to share, and the conversation is just so worthwhile for people to hear and to think about how they might be turning up, and how they might, in your case, how they can be with what you're saying, how they can be conscious. We always do three takeaways. What do you want people to really take away?
You're a human being.
Mm.
You're a human and a being. You always have choice.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that away from you. Everything happens for you.
Everything happens for you. I absolutely love that, because I think that just switches it full 180 degrees from what people think. It's just been just wonderful talking with you. How can people get in touch with you? What have you got happening that people might need to know about? And as you said, you're online with everything now. People can join you from all around the world.
Absolutely. So LinkedIn is always a good space to connect with me. And what I always say to people, don't just follow me, connect with me, get on a coffee call, get to know me. I really love people. I don't believe in the follower thing. I'm not a sheepdog. So LinkedIn is always a really good space to connect with me. My website is always a good space to go to as well, directionyou.co. I do blog every single day. Not always the prettiest blog. Sometimes it feels like a real tortilla slap, and other times it feels like I'm kissing you. So and then, there's the opt-in on my website for the Spiral of Thrive, which I highly recommend everybody do. It's a It's a deeper understanding which I received after using the Wheel of Life for such a long time and going, well, actually, no, there is a flow to energy in a very specific order. And when we start understanding that flow, we bring our focus to different areas completely. We change the stories about all the areas in our lives, and we get more creative, more energized, and just more connected. So that is there as well.
Yeah, and I'll have all those details in the show notes so people will be able to definitely connect with you. I want to thank you, Elle. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I look forward to connecting more with you and, you know, being part of that loving space.
Absolutely, Janine. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you for joining us. Remember, if you are looking for maybe some information on how you can assist your business to grow or to, you know, find that who you are, build your brand authority, stand out, then go to JanineVosper.com, book a business introductory conversation. And if I can't help you, I have got so many experts on the books who will definitely be able to recommend you to. Have a fantastic day, night, wherever you are in the world listening to this. And I look forward to you joining us next time on the We Are Women podcast. Cool.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.